The same good God who gave us the gospel also gave us the law, and he loves his law as much as he loves his gospel. In fact, neither can be fully understood or appreciated without seeing the relationship between the two. Recovering the doctrine of the law and gospel is essential to living well in the world that God has made. Join us for the National Founders Conference, January 21st through the 23rd of 2027, as we look at the scriptures to study not only the great gift of the gospel to us, but the usefulness and goodness of God's law that caused the psalmist to say, "Oh, how I love your law." You can find out more information and register for the conference at founders.org/conference. Use code FOUNDERS at checkout to save 10% on your registration.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here this morning with my husband, Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have gone on a walk this morning and there are bagels rising and it is a really good Monday morning.
It's been very good.
So Jared is on the podcast this morning to talk about a trip that he and Ransom just got to take that was super cool and chatting a little bit about raising sons and what we are doing with our sons and some other fathers are doing. And I just thought it'd be cool to chat about what that's actually looking like. We've talked before about the words that we're using, but we can kind of review that for people who maybe haven't heard it. But it's just cool seeing Justin and Rhett and what they're doing now for, it was Rhett's 13th birthday. So anyways, tell the story.
Well, Justin is a friend of mine down from Texas, and he comes up to the intensive every year. I think it's 4 years now, so he just listened to the podcast, and we struck up a friendship. I had him on the show. Justin had a really cool ministry and called Transformed, and he took some guys up to Colorado to a cabin, and we, you know, talked about that and struck up a friendship, and that's developed over the years. His son Rhett has been coming to the intensive also, and then Ransom and Rhett and the young men that come. It's a fathers and son trip, so you get a bunch of buddies there, and it's a bunch of good kids, and they all get along, and even the age range from, you know, 9 years old up to, or 8 years old up to 17, and they all play really well together at the river trip. So Justin had been talking to me about what he's doing with Rhett, and he's got a mission into manhood that he put together and invited several friends and their sons to come out to Colorado. And we went to Noah's Ark Resort. It's not like a resort, but it's along the river and
adventure camp.
Yeah, something. So we stayed in yurts and all this, but Justin had lessons laid out for Rhett and the boys every night. And we went out there for 4 nights, 5 days, and we did a lot of challenging things that required the boys to overcome some fears and some of the fathers to overcome some fears. Did some things that required getting up high and then looking down. We were tethered together, obviously, to the cable system. We did a adventure course, ropes course, that was 3 levels high. It probably at the top was 50 feet. And it was really fun. It was just kind of a overgrown McDonald's playland for men and teenagers. It was great. And then we whitewater raft, which was really fun, and level 2 and 3 rapids, so it wasn't insane. But there was a jump rock. It was what it was called. It was on the Arkansas River. And I guess the Arkansas River is the most floated whitewater river in the United States, from what they said. So that was really fun. And then we rock climbed, and we climbed some 5'8", 5'7", and 5'8", but we didn't have climbing shoes. So when you're climbing without climbing shoes, it makes a 5'7" and a 5'8" harder.
Yeah.
But Ransom climbed right up it, and then we went rappelling down, and that was a really neat thing to watch as the boys leaned over the wall. I think it was 75 feet. So enough to, it doesn't look that high when you're on the ground, but when you're up, as you know, it looks really high. And Ransom was just shaking and nervous, and he didn't weigh enough for the tension of these ropes. So he had to like kind of jump his body and bounce all the way down. It was wonderful to see day after day overcoming these challenges. It was really good. And then the nights we'd get together after supper, and Justin would do a lesson. And it was just overall a great event. It was finished off the last day. We went on a 12-mile hike. And it was 6 miles up. We went above the tree line. And I think it was 12,500 feet up to Bear lake in Buena Vista, Colorado, outside of Buena Vista. It was incredible. And you're out in the wilderness and there's a marked trail, so you know where you're going. We went with a couple guides, and the guides had told us this is the longest hike they had done on a one-day trip ever, because they do backpacking and they cover 8 miles in a day or something like that. But we did 12 miles in one day. And there was a couple times that Ransom looked at me and he's like, "Dad, I can't go on." And Rhett started getting sick. The boys...
The altitude sickness.
Right. The older boys were running around having a blast. It didn't bother them. But for the men, too, it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. Well, one kid ended up puking and then ended up doing great the rest of the way. None of the boys complained. None of them had a bad attitude. It was just hard. Mm-hmm. And then when they got to the point where they felt like they couldn't go any further, Ransom said, "Dad, I just can't." I was like, "Buddy, we've got to get through this. There's people counting on us. We can do this. You can do this." And then when we got to the top, it was all worth it. Mm-hmm. It was, and then we ate like pita bread sandwiches. It tasted so good. Ransom said it was the best meal he's ever had.
He said that again last night.
Yeah.
"Dad, remember those pita bread and salami sandwiches?
Yeah.
Best meal we've ever had."
And dried mangoes. You can't beat dried mangoes. And then I got to preach up there, so I'm going to write off the miles on that trip. But we got to experience just beautiful scenery. And Ransom had never seen the mountains before. So when we first got into the mountains after Denver, he was at the point of tears at how beautiful they were. He just could not believe.
Sending me videos. "Look at this. Look at this."
It was unreal. And then when we left, we went up from Buena Vista to Colorado Springs. We went a different route, went around Pikes Peak. And, you know, you get out of the mountains pretty quick. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was just an incredible trip. So this is what Justin's doing for his boys. It's a little bit different, but kind of follows the same trajectory of what I laid out for our sons. And as our sons are getting a little bit older, I just told you yesterday, I feel like I'm going to be a little bit better dad as the boys get older, just because I've thought through those middle teenage up into manhood stages a little bit more. Because right now it's just...
I wouldn't say better. You've been a very good dad so far. It's just different. There's a different kind of intentionality that you're able to do once your kids are a little bit bigger.
Well, up to 12, what the sons really need to know is they need to know the law, the gospel, but they need to know they're really loved. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just a foundation principle for raising boys and girls in the home, is that they are loved, that they're not chasing that from other places, other people. They know that in the home, their dad loves them and their mom loves them, and that foundation is there. And by consequence, they know that God loves them. And those foundational principles, before some of the, I mean, obviously, like the cognitive development and some of the early stages of development and sanctification after they become Christians, is there and critical in those first years of just picking up what normal is, what is the default of life in this home, how does a Christian live in the kingdom of God. And those things are there. That's obviously all the foundation work. And then some of the more challenging things of growing into manhood, that's what I've laid out for our boys, that start generally around the age 10 up into about 18.
Looking for faith-inspired pieces you'll actually love to wear? Stylish and simple Christian apparel that lets you wear your faith freely. That's what you'll find at With a Wildflower. At With a Wildflower, they believe your clothing can be a simple way to share the love of Jesus. They created thoughtfully designed Christian apparel and gifts that help you confidently wear your faith. From cozy comfort color tees and embroidered hats to meaningful gifts and even curated vintage items. Just as Jesus seeks to give us new life in Him, they seek to give new life to their found goods. Their mission is simple: to combine faith-filled style with vintage soul, all for His glory. Whether you're headed to church, picking up your kids from school, or simply going about your everyday life, their pieces are designed to encourage you, spark conversations about Jesus, and help you wear your faith freely. With a Wildflower, faith-filled style, vintage soul, all for His glory. Find them at withawildflowerllc.etsy.com.
One thing that we've said to our little kids when they're smaller is, what is your biggest job? What's your most important job? So like with Pravi, like, "Pravi, what's your most important job?" And she would say, "To obey." Mm-hmm. And I think that is just, for a very large portion of their childhood, is like, what is the most important thing we're trying to get across here? obey. Mm-hmm. Your most important job is to obey. And then it transforms a little bit into like obeying, but also respectfully once they get a little bit bigger and obeying cheerfully always. And then now you're getting into with Ransom some of those more detailed lessons, which is fun and exciting. So talk about the words that we do with our sons.
Well, what I've called cardinal virtues of manhood, cardinal actions of manhood, is taken from the scriptures, and other people have compiled a list. And so when you think about this and just do a biblical survey in your mind, you can kind of see where these come. It comes from the garden all the way through the New Testament. Worship, work, protect, provide, lead, love. These cardinal actions, central actions of manhood. Others have picked up on these and package it a little bit different way. But for me, that's been the way that to think through it the most clearly of what is a Christian man? What is manhood? And not just what is a Christian man, what is the aim of every man, even of a non-Christian? What are they going to be held accountable to according to God's law and commandments? And so when we think through these, I want to cast some sort of a vision of what we're going for. So if I just say anywhere and I scream out Sparks men, Ransom and Valor, both, will say worship, work, protect, provide, lead, love. And of course, we've done this with the girls on the other side with Providence and thinking through that with you for the girl side. But what I've wanted to think through is how to intentionally build these kinds of actions into their life in an everyday way, but also in an intentional way via rites of passage. So around each one of these cardinal actions, what I've done is constructed a rite of passage that I'm taking each of my sons through that is going to instruct them in those ways, but also build in challenges as well. So in a lot of things that Justin's doing with Mission to Manhood, they overlap. They overlap in what we're trying to do here, but it's intentionality, and it's raising your sons in such a way that they're marching into adulthood and they're ready to have a household. They're ready to work hard to build a life and to humbly walk before God and man. And, you know, that's the hope, is we want to see them love Jesus. And the same thing we're instructing them when they're little boys and Providence, as she's a little girl, this obedience. I mean, isn't that what we're striving for as adults as well? It's ingratitude for God's grace. We want to obey. We want to walk in obedience and have self-control, self-mastery. So those are the kind of things that I'm doing with the boys.
So why do you think a trip like what you and Justin got to take your sons on, how can that be beneficial with raising sons? And it doesn't have to be something big and elaborate like that. It can just be a dad taking his boy camping in the backyard, you know? Yeah. But why do you think it's important? And even like one-on-one, just taking one of your kids on a trip like that, how do you think that can be beneficial?
Well, when you have focused time with one child, the first thing I think about is just, it's fun. Mm-hmm. There's just aspects of life that are just so much fun that you carry with you the rest of your life. Memories. This is going to be one of them. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's talking about his dad and how his dad was a little bit distant from him growing up, but every year they went on a trout fishing trip. And he said, I got the best of my dad on those trips. My best memories with my father were on those little trips that they would do. And with Ransom and I being able to go out and just have fun and share experience together with a group of buddies. Now, this is kind of like an extra, because this is what Justin invited us into with his boys and with his son. So for us, it was kind of like a bonus. It was just a thing that we got to do together. And hopefully I get to do stuff like that with Valor and Oak as well, and Providence to a differing degree. But the other things that we're doing, that we're building in, we're yet to get to. We've only done one of the rites of passage so far. But those special trips where you get to take and have one-on-one time, you just have a blast. But then also, you get to take lessons. Like, I built lessons out for the things that we did. And we just talked through these things together. But the big piece on trips like that is the shared experience of difficulty, of toil, of hard work. And breaking through where you think your body can go. And on a 12-mile hike, you might think, well, it's just 12 miles, you know, not that big of a deal. But when you're high in the elevation and it's not a paved path, I mean, it was hard work. And then for a guy that's 4'8" and
12.
And he's walking the steps, the amount of steps he has to take for that day, it was probably the hardest physical demand he's ever experienced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He sent me a picture of his watch at the end of the day, and he had taken like 33,000 steps.
Yeah. And so those sorts of things, when you're seeing, your son needs to know that the human body can go further than you think it can. We have these built-in psychological things that are in our body that tell your body to shut down after so many miles, or after your body feels so you know, tired. And Cameron Haynes, he interviews these, what he calls outliers, of people who have been able to figure out how to break through those physical barriers and those mental barriers, and you just keep pushing and you realize, my goodness, my body can go a lot further. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, you joke with your friends, if you know, the workout meme is, if I don't lift this weight, my family dies and I'm gay or something. There's like this motivation, or you think about a lion behind you and you don't quit running because if you quit running, you're going to get eaten alive or something like that. There's those motivations there, but your body can go so much further. And Ransom just got to taste a little bit of that. Okay, I can go just a little bit further. And then when I think I can't go any further at all, I can't take another step. Okay, I can take another step. I can get through that. So the shared hardship is where I think that's why, like with boot camp and the military, all the guys that get back from the military, they'll say, I haven't seen my brothers from war or from boot camp in 30 years. But if we sat around a campfire together, we had those shared bonding experiences. We can go back instantly and talk about, do you remember when? Do you remember? Yeah, oh my goodness. And you have that bond of brotherhood. So those sorts of hardships that you experience with your children that you do together have a way of creating bonds that go with you the rest of your life. And it's so much more important. You have the everyday, you know, mowing outside, teaching the boys to weed eat, or just doing things around the house, working around the house, and life in the normal, let's go stack firewood, that kind of thing. But when you get to do something different, you build those experiences that carry with you for the rest of your life.
And something that I really appreciate and respect about the way that you face hardship is you do it so cheerfully, and you've taught our boys, like, no, this is fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to go do this, and it's going to be a really good time. And it's not you being a baby and teaching them that we do hardship and be a baby at the same time, but you do it in a fun way. Well, and I think that that's an important element, because like if a dad takes his son on this trip and he's moaning the whole time, having a not good time, like that's actually not what you're trying to teach them. So how do you do that? How are you able to I know how. It's your personality.
Also. Well, but it's also, there's something about manhood where a part of the joy is the misery. So Tough Mudder. I did Tough Mudder with Micah and Andrew.
I know some girls like that kind of stuff, but it just seems like the farthest away from a pleasurable day to
me. Like Tough Mudder is pretty easy, actually. It's like 10 miles and it's really not that hard, but you're filthy, you're in mud, it's just miserable for a lot of it. And then as soon as it's done, you're like, yeah, that was awesome.
And you enjoy it and want to do it the next year.
Oh yeah. And then like with the hog hunting trip, I've only packed out meat, and you always hear about going elk hunting. I'd love to go elk hunting. And we went down pig hunting in Texas, and we had to pack meat several miles, and there's deadfall everywhere. And it is very hard. Mm-hmm. And your back is on fire, your legs are on fire, our feet were wet because it was like ankle deep water the whole time, and you're climbing over down fallen trees. And you know, the whole time you're like, man, this is like, I don't know if I can keep going. Mm-hmm. And you get back, and that was awesome.
We have the very best picture ever of Jared and all the guys as soon as they get back, and they're all just laying on their backs with all of their gear on still. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we
made it. But like thinking about going to the backcountry in Colorado or somewhere out west and going elk hunting, which I want to take the boys to do at some point. I mean, when you think about walking in 5-8 miles and then packing out meat 5-8 miles and then going back and doing another trip, you go into it knowing this is going to be probably the hardest thing I've ever done, or close to it. I've done some hard things, but this is probably going to be one of the hardest things we've ever done. And it's going to be like, there's going to be times in there we think, this is, why are we doing this? This is so stupid. Mm-hmm. And but that's a part of the greatness of it, is because the misery is a part of the joy. I mean, it's that's what you want to go to. So I've always heard about hunters in the West, that if you go with somebody that complains the whole time, it's like the worst thing ever. So I had already prepared Ransom. Like, we do not complain about any of this. We don't complain. We don't say, oh, we almost there. Is it almost over? We just have fun in the difficulty. And so I think that mental preparation of knowing that a part of the joy of this is going to be the physical demand for anything that you're going to do. And, you know, if I would die before I would be the guy on an elk hunt that says a single word of complaint about anything. And I could have bloody feet from blisters. And
I remember on your bear hunt, you had a migraine the first couple of days. And you're like, I'm faking it, but I have a migraine.
I had a migraine for like 72 hours on that trip. And I was sitting in a stand I was doing an all day sit because I determined I am not going to go on this hunt and come back empty handed. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing this, I will kill a bear. So I sat miserable. I mean, I could barely open my eyes, just And then I'd have to go back, and the guide was there, my buddy, Kevin, and I'd have to go back, and it was right after COVID. So I didn't want him to think I had like a cold or anything. So yeah. I was trying to fake and was hurting so bad. And so from every meal, I felt like I could, it was awful. But the trip, I look back on it and I don't think about that migraine. I just think about pushing through. And I mean, I think I did a sit a couple days where I was like 10 hours in a stand, just sitting in a stand, seeing absolutely nothing with a migraine. And what do you want with a migraine? You want a bed and lights out, and you want like, give me every single medicine in the cabinet. I don't care what it is. Knock me out. I don't care if it's illegal. I don't care. Just give it to me. Mm-hmm. And so you push through and you build a memory.
I guess it's kind of like birth for women. Like, that's why we all love hearing each other's birth stories, because it's epic.
Yeah.
Difficulty it's a that shared, you went through. And we're like, what? That was like insane.
Shared hardship.
And you're like, yep, going to do it again. Uh-huh. Four more times. Yeah. You're just, it's some kind of glory and difficulty, mm-hmm. and pushing through and God giving strength and all the things. It's just cool. And so teaching that to your boys is super important, to like not be a baby. Enjoy it.
Knowing your listener base here, think about raising a son that's soft, and how disgusting that would feel, to where you've got a soft son that just wants to stay inside all the time, that doesn't want to do hard things, doesn't want to do difficult things. How are they going to be prepared for life? And if you can't push through those mental barriers of being miserable, dirty, filthy, tired, hurt, pain, blood, and they just stop or complain, what kind of sons are you raising? And so that's got to be built in them, where they can see, I can overcome this. We can get through this. I'm not going to die. And even if I might die here, if I survive, it's going to be amazing. I go back to that river trip of the difference of the guys, where we had a river trip one year where a bunch of dudes almost died legitimately.
It's very dangerous.
It was.
It's not funny. It was actually
very. But to see the response of the men, most of the men came out of that trip thinking, that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. I almost died. It was awesome. And then a couple other guys, it doesn't mean that they're bad guys. It's just a different response, or they vowed, no, I'm never getting on the river again. It's just how people respond. And so, you know, I want to see in my sons, you know, resilience, and trips like this can build that.
Can help do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can moms help be a furtherment of this virtue and not a hindrance to it?
Encourage it.
Yeah.
Encourage your sons, your husbands to do things like this, because in the future, you know, it doesn't mean you don't do things with your daughter and your wife. You go on family vacations and things like that. I think it's equally important to say to a mom, hey, take a trip with your daughter. It's not going to be the same sort of physical demand sort of thing, but there can be special times together. Obviously, you want to do things as a family and a family unit, because what you want your children to grow up knowing what a healthy family unit is, and spending time together and doing fun things together, and working hard together, but playing hard together too. But for sons in particular, they're going to have burdens that we don't want our daughters to have. We want them to carry loads that we don't want our daughters to ever carry. We want them to be able to go through physical challenges and demands in a way that our daughters never will have to. And, you know, if my daughter wants to do a tough mudder with me, that's okay. She can do that. I'm not saying that that's a wrong thing, but the burden of head of household is going to be on our sons. And the challenge of loving a woman, raising a family, working hard, doing things that are going to require them to like bottle that emotion up and never let that come out. You bury that and do the next difficult thing. It doesn't mean you never cry or anything like that, but you just do what's required. Do the next thing.
Yeah. And what you mean is they're going to be faced with challenges that they have to be the stability for their family.
Exactly.
That they need to know how to be strong for the people around them. And there are times to be able to express emotion and times to be able to not.
Yeah. And I think in the context of a father with your sons, you can bring them to the edge of danger and chaos and crazy in the context of you being there for your son,
where it's actually
and for your sons,
control.
Yes, where it's more controlled than they realize.
Yeah.
And so in that way, you're still building them up, but you're not just sending them to the wolves. You're not just saying, hey, climb that mountain by yourself at 8 years old,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing. And go survive in the wilderness for the next week by yourself. Yeah. Here's a hatchet. There's a time for that. There's a place for that. When they're older, you want them to be able to handle that sort of thing. But in the context of the father and his care over his son, you can have adventure, you can have hard work, you can raise them in that, and then bring them to the brink of exhaustion, and then bring them past it. And so for moms thinking through that, it's critical to not bicker, to not complain when the father wants to spend intentional time with the sons doing things like this. And I think as the kids get older, it's going to be important to go and say, hey, listen, let's go on a hunting trip. We're going to be gone for 5 days, but I'm bringing two of the sons and we're going to have the greatest adventure and challenge of our entire life. And come heck or high water, we're coming back with elk meat in the back and with stories and blood. And so those things are just, you know, of critical importance. I think that's also why just even hunting in a small scale, whitetail is totally different than going to the backcountry out west or something. But to kill a deer and then to field dress it, and we're going to do some more processing this year to save some money of just,
and learn,
you know,
some lessons.
Caping it out, yeah, and learn some lessons.
A few years and the boys were little last time we did, so it's good for them.
Yeah.
But even with deer hunting and the determination that our kids have needed to be able to get a deer, like how many times did Ransom...
I think it was like 14 or 15 times that he missed before he got one.
Yeah. And so the lessons and discouragement that he had to work through. And so there was a time that he came in and he's like, I just don't think God wants me to get a deer. I just don't think God wants me to get a deer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he wants you to be patient. What is he wanting of you right now is for you to trust him.
Yeah.
And so many things that Ransom has had to wait on that he thought was going to happen at a certain time and then it was delayed. And I'm like, this is all God teaching you. So I think a mom can be a good helper and just... not encouraging her sons
to be soft.
Yeah, I was gonna do it a better way, but
to be weak.
Yeah, not like coming alongside them in that and being like, you know, let me try to fix it for you. Let me try to make it come in quicker. Let me try to make this all easier for you. But being like, no, God's teaching you a lesson in this. He wants you to be patient. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to keep going and not give up. And those things, being an encouragement in those ways, and then also trusting your husband to take him on trips like that, and then trusting that your husband did the hard work to prepare and has what they need, and going to get the groceries for them that they might need on the trip.
Well, and patience, he said, and then I think he said persistence as well. And I think that was a big thing that he had to learn is resilience. I mean, just keep going. And every time we go, it's with me. It's a good time. We have fun. And he has to learn, okay, patience when you're sitting in a stand. And just at the moment you think nothing's going to happen, you know, here comes the buck that God's bringing your way.
Yeah.
And then you finally shoot one. And then when he did, we were like just celebrating, you know, it was incredible.
Tears.
So the intentional things we're doing, worship, work, protect, provide, lead, love. We already did a rite of passage around worship. And that's going to be the defining thing of any man is when he moves from being a man that's living for himself and doesn't know the Lord to a young boy who's trusted in Christ and now positionally is a Christian. He knows the Lord. He loves the Lord. And what I did for the hint for Ransom is I built a rite of passage around worship that included the men that he respected the most speaking into his life. And what I asked these guys was, I want Ransom to hear your testimony about how you were saved and what walking with the Lord means to you. And these guys went around. It was his grandpa, his uncle, and then two friends, two guys from church. And then the next one we're going to do is lead. So it's not in order. And Ransom's going to be required to build out a plan on a canoe trip. It's probably going to happen next summer where he's going to be in charge of the route, where we're camping, all the food. He's going to plan the whole thing. And he's going to lead the trip for me and for Valor. And then we're going to go together and he's going to be in charge the whole thing. He's going to call the outfitter. He's going to do it all. And so he's gonna plan it all out. And of course, then I'm there if something goes crazy or he misses something, I'm able to tell him. But then at the end of that, then he's going to get something. Like I gave him a Buffalo leather Bible and at the end of this worship rite of passage, and that was expensive Bible, was a legacy heirloom Bible. And then I gave him an Orvis fishing rod, a fly fishing rod. And, you know, we got into fly fishing. So at that particular time, so now this rod, he's got a fly rod. It's a good 5-weight fly rod. And then at the end of these rites of passage, there's a ceremony piece where you give them something that they're going to take with them forever and that they'll have forever. It's costly. It costs money. And he knows it in his hands that it is valuable and it means something. And so, you know, the part that you play in this is, well, we're going to be gone for a couple of days. And to reinforce in him that you are a boy that loves the Lord and that you're growing in your faith and responsibilities. So it's a lot of fun. So with each of those, then there's going to be a rite of passage and a ceremony at the end of it. And then by the time he's 18, he'll have, you know, guns, He'll have training. He'll have had to wrestle me to the ground and pin me to be head of household. You've got to be able to beat your old man kind of thing. So there's a lot of fun elements that are part of it as well. But it's just about intentionality. And what I put together is malleable for guys to be able to do with their sons. And it's just a matter of just being intentional with when you're raising your kids.
Yeah.
And it's going to be imperfect, you know, but it's fun.
Well, hopefully this has given you guys some ideas for raising your sons. And
there's our grandfather clock.
There's our grandfather clock.
It's all right. They can hear it.
Podcasting the other day with Keeping the Citadel, and I was like, sorry about the clock.
It's all right.
Anyways, thanks for listening.